from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From Hello, listener. How are you? I'm Stefanus. Will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news. So stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voanews.id. Listener, here's the news. First, the headlines. President-elect Prabowo Subianto affirms Indonesia is not a protectionist country at Qatar Economic Forum. Field of study for Australian students to study in Indonesia changes. And here's the news in detail, read by Steve. President-elect Prabowo Subianto, before investors and representatives of foreign countries at Qatar Economic Forum, emphasized that Indonesia is not a protectionist country. He said that Indonesia seeks to protect its national interests, including processing its own natural resources and reducing dependence on imported products. This was stated by the president-elect Prabowo Subianto when responding to a question from a senior journalist, Haslinda Amin, during an event in Doha, Qatar, via Bloomberg TV's YouTube channel, as quoted by Antara in Jakarta Wednesday. He added that Indonesia wishes to get full benefits from its natural resources so that downstreaming is one of the main policies currently implemented. He also viewed that Indonesia cannot continue to import because it is an unfair policy for the people, and Indonesia will not be able to become a developed industrial country. Therefore, when he officially takes office as Indonesia's 8th president, Prabowo emphasized that he will continue the downstream policy pioneered by President Joko Widodo. Prabowo also explained currently Indonesia imports fuels worth $20 billion every year. If Indonesia can switch to biodiesel by utilizing its palm oil, Prabowo believes Indonesia can reduce imports while boosting its economic growth. Australia's non-profit International Education Consortium, ACECIS, has long been a partner for Australian students who wish to learn more about Indonesia and continue their studies in Indonesia for academic credit. In preparation for the consortium's 30th anniversary in Indonesia, ACECIS Consortium Director Liam Prince visited Indonesia and held meetings with the parties involved in the cooperation of placing Australian students in Indonesia. In a special interview with Voice of Indonesia at the ACECIS office Jakarta Wednesday, Liam Prince said he was proud to be present in Indonesia and helping bridge the diplomacy of the two countries in the field of education. Currently, the study programs that Australian students are interested in are varied and changing.
Yang paling popular, yang paling banyak peminatnya, itu
the most popular, the most in demand, is law. In fact, in recent year, law is popular. Public health with the partnership with University of Indonesia is very popular. Many prospective doctors want to come here to see the situation and conditions in the public health system in Indonesia.
Kesehatan masyarakat di Indonesia.
ACECIS, which was established in 1995, currently receives support from Australian government's the New Colombo Plan program, apart from attending lecture programs on several campuses in several cities on Java Island. Students also carry out internships in several offices or institutions related to studies they take at universities in Australia. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Hadi Cahyanto received a courtesy call from Turkish Ambassador to Indonesia Talib Kucukan in Jakarta on Wednesday. A press release from the Coordinating Ministry for Political, Legal and Security Affairs stated that Minister Hadi Cahyanto said that Turkey is an important strategic partner of Indonesia. The two countries have established comprehensive cooperation, especially in the fields of politics, law and security. During the meeting, Minister Hadi Cahyanto and Ambassador Talib Kucukan discussed enhancing cooperation in the fields of law and security, such as counter-terrorism and inter-police cooperation. Both countries agreed to keep improving bilateral relations and cooperations that have been well established. Indonesian Deputy Minister of Trade Jerry Sambuaga encourages business players, including MSMEs, to take advantage of trade agreements that Indonesia has entered into with other countries in order to increase exports of Indonesian products to the global market. During the opening of Inabaya 2024 in Jakarta Wednesday, he revealed that Indonesia has many trade agreements around the world. As of May 15, 2024, Indonesia has been bound by 37 trade agreements. One example of a trade agreement that can be utilized is Indonesia-Australia Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, or IACPA. This is a comprehensive economic partnership agreement between Indonesia and Australia. One of the objectives is to expand market access and increase competitiveness for Indonesian products, especially agriculture, fisheries, industry, and forestry. Through this agreement, which has been in effect since July 2020, Australia eliminated 6,474 tariff posts, or 100% of the total tariff posts, so that Indonesian products exported to Australia are not subject to import duties. Deputy Minister of Trade Jerry also said that his side continues to strive in establishing trade agreements with other countries to open market access for Indonesian products. The head of Bali Culture Office, Igede Arya Sugiyata, mentioned to date 1,700 delegates of the 10th World Water Forum registered to join the Segara Kerti Ceremony, or a series of events titled Bali Nice. Igede Arya Sugiyata in Denpasar Thursday said the ceremony will take place on Saturday, or May the 18th, at the beach of Kura Kura, Special Economic Zone of Bali. Some 52 commercial trucks arrived for the first time in southern Gaza city of Rafah via the Kerem Shalom crossing on Tuesday, since the Israeli military took over Rafah border crossing with Egypt on Palestinian side on May the 7th, Palestinian security sources told Anadolu, as quoted by Antara on Wednesday. The sources who didn't want to be named said the trucks, which contain goods for private sector, entered Israel via the Kerem Shalom crossing for the first time since the military operation began in Rafah. The trucks were not carrying humanitarian aid goods, but rather the goods belonging to Palestinian merchants in the Gaza Strip. Protests in New Caledonia carrying demands related to the expansion of voters' list in the region's general election ended in violence again on Tuesday night. Protests in the French-owned Pacific Territory were accompanied by violence and looting. The New Caledonian High Commission noted that one person was shot dead and two others were injured. New Caledonian High Commissioner Louis Lefranc told reporters, as quoted by AFP, reported RRE.co.id Wednesday, said the victim was not shot by police or civil officers, but someone who clearly wanted to defend himself. He described the unrest as an uprising. Lefranc also said there was a shootout between rioters and civil defense groups in Noumea, the capital of Caledonia. A shootout was also reported in Paita, a town near Noumea. French Interior Minister Gérald Darmanin said about 100 police and gendarmes were injured in the riots. Meanwhile, from Tuesday to Wednesday, security forces arrested 140 people in and around Noumea. The recent unrest erupted amid demonstrations against constitutional reforms being debated in the French National Assembly. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy participated again in the largest international tourism exhibition at the Seoul International Travel Fair SITF 2024, which took place at COEX Hall A in Seoul, South Korea from May 9 to 12. 2024. The ministry presented the Wonderful Indonesia Pavilion in collaboration with the Indonesian Embassy in Seoul, the Jakarta Tourism and Creative Economy Office, the South Sumatra Culture and Tourism Office, and Garuda Indonesia. This was stated by Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Uno when attending the 2024 Seoul International Travel Fair SITF Saturday. The Wonderful Indonesia Pavilion featured Balinese decorations. Complementing the pavilion is a wonderful journey theme to promote the five super priority destinations. The Indonesian Pavilion also featured 14 tourism industries, including travel agents, tour operators, hotels, golf, and tourism attraction. Quoted from the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy's press release on Sunday, Minister Sandiaga explained that the foreign tourist market from South Korea is still one of the potential markets for the tourism industry in Indonesia. South Korea ranks 8th out of the top 10 countries contributing the most foreign tourists to Indonesia in 2023 and continues to show a positive trend and reach more than 300,000 visits. Deputy for Marketing of the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, Nimade Ayu Martini, said that Bali has become top of mind for South Korean outbound tourists. In addition to Bali, Wonderful Indonesia also offers five super priority destinations outside Bali, such as Lake Toba, Borobudur Temple, Mandalika, Labuan Bajo, and Likupang, and focuses on the leading segment in the South Korean market, namely golf and leisures. Martini also explained that in targeting the luxury segment, the Indonesian tourism industry prepares tour packages that suit tourists from South Korea. The Wonderful Indonesia Pavilion also promoted destinations in Indonesia as filming location. Recently, the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy has launched a film location ecosystem called Indonesia Film Facilitation as an access for international filmmakers to visit various beautiful filming locations in Indonesia. Promoting destinations through movies can expose more destinations in Indonesia and encourage more Korean tourists to visit Indonesia.
We begin today in history with an event on May 16, 1945, about All Java Youth Congress. Before the Investigation Board for Preparatory Work for Indonesian Independence was formed on May 16, 1945 in Bandung, West Java, an All Java Youth Congress was held, initiated by Angkatan Muda Indonesia, or the Indonesian Youth Force. The Congress, which was attended by more than 100 youth delegates and students from all over Java, called on the youth in Java to unite and prepare themselves to carry out the Proclamation of Independence, which was not a gift from Japan. The Congress produced two resolutions, namely calling on all groups, especially youth groups, to be united and rounded up under one national leadership, and accelerating the implementation of the Declaration of Indonesian Independence. We move to Junko Tabei, the first woman to reach the summit of Everest. On May 16, 1975, Junko Tabei, a Japanese mountaineer, became the first woman who was able to reach the highest peak of Everest in the world. She climbed through the shortest route. Everest Peak is part of the Himalayan mountain range located on the border of Nepal and China at an altitude of about 8,850 meters. We end today in history with an event about International Day of Light. The International Day of Light is celebrated annually on May 16 as the anniversary of the successful operation of the first laser in 1960 by physicist Theodor Maiman. The International Day of Light was first celebrated at the UNESCO office in Paris, France on Wednesday, May 16, 2018. The momentum was also celebrated in 87 countries. UNESCO enacted the International Day of Light based on the results of the 200th meeting of the UNESCO leadership. According to UNESCO, The International Day of Light aims at celebrating the role of light in science, technology, art, and sustainable development. That was today in history.
Listener, you're still with us in The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world.
on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome to My Indonesia. Today's My Indonesia is about carbon trade volume in Indonesia that reaches over 572,000 tons up to April 2024. Head of Capital Market, Derivative Finance and Carbon Exchange Supervision at Indonesian Financial Service Authority, or OJK, Inarno Jayadi, on Monday, 13 May, said that the carbon exchange trade volume in Indonesia has reached 572,000 tons of carbon dioxide equivalent up to April 30, 2024. In a press conference of the OJK Commissioner Board's April 2024 monthly meeting result in Jakarta, Inarno Jayadi said that since it was launched on September 26, 2023 until April 2024, there are 57 users of licensed carbon exchange service. He also said the trade value accumulation from the volume was 35.31 billion rupiahs, with 27.9% in regular market, 19.76% in negotiation market, and 52.34% in the auction market. The number of licensed service users, trade volume, and trade value accumulation showed an increase compared to the data per March 28, 2024, although not significant. In March, the trade value in the carbon market has reached 35.3 billion rupiahs, with 53 licensed service users as well as some 571,000 tons of carbon dioxide equivalent trade volume. Inarno is optimistic that carbon market development in Indonesia will keep improving, considering it has great potential. Obviously, according to Inarno, the carbon exchange potential is still very large, considering there are 3,708 registrants listed in the National Registry System for Climate Change Control, or SRNPPI, and the great potential of the carbon unit to offer. Indonesian Carbon Exchange, or IDX Carbon, provides a transparent, orderly, reasonable, and efficient trade system. Complying to the Indonesian Financial Services Authority Regulation, or POJK, number 14 of 2023 on carbon trade via carbon exchange. IDX Carbon is connected to the National Registry System for Climate Change Control of the Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry, so that it allows an easier administration for carbon unit movement and double counting prevention. A company with an obligation and or commitment to voluntarily reducing greenhouse gas can be a user of the IDX Carbon service and purchase the available carbon units. That was My Indonesia.
Semburat langit nan jingga melepas sang mentari. Betapa mereka setia selalu melengkapi. Hadirkan senja yang kita nikmati. Di ujung rindukan hadir waktu untuk mengobati.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, if you travel to Karanganyar Regency, Central Java, you should visit its waterfall tourist spots. Karanganyar Regency has many waterfalls located on the slopes of Mount Lawu. One of the newly opened waterfall attractions is Ngarnguyuso Waterfall. Its main attraction is the approximately 30-meter waterfall whose water comes from the river around the rice fields. The river flow will fall into a stream forming a kind of pool. You can splash around in the pool below the waterfall. Listener, Ngarnguyuso Waterfall is under the management of Lawu Group. Some other tourist attraction under the Lawu Group are Sakura Hills in Tawangmangu and Kemuning Sky Hills or Kemuning Glass Bridge. The entrance ticket price is 20,000 rupiah or about $1.2 per person. With the price, you can enter the tourist area and play with water to your heart content. You have to walk down about 5 minutes from the parking lot along the stairs because the waterfall point is at the bottom of the cliff. Arriving at the bottom of the cliff, you will see a waterfall about 40 meters high that fall into the river. You can take pictures with the waterfall in the background. Not only taking pictures, you can also play in the water. At the bottom of the waterfall, a sort of pool can be used to play water. Listener, besides playing in the water, another activity that can be done is to ride the Keranjang Sultan or Sultan's Basket, a kind of flying basket ride that floats above the river. For one way, the ride costs 20,000 rupiah or about $1.2 per person, while round trip costs 30,000 rupiah or about $1.8. You can also dine in food stalls around the waterfall while enjoying the natural beauty.
Perjalanan membawamu bertemu denganku, ku bertemu kamu. Sepertimu yang ku cari, konon aku juga seperti yang kau cari. Ku kira kita asam dan garam, dan kita bertemu di belanga. Kisah yang ternyata tak seindah itu. Kukira kita akan bersama, begitu banyak yang sama, latarmu dan latarku. Kukira takkan ada kendala, kukira ini kan mudah kalau ku jadi kita. Kasih sayangmu membekas, redam kini sudah pijar istimewa. Entah apa maksud dunia tentang ujung cerita kita tak bersama. Semoga rindu ini menghilang, hanya waktu sembuhkan. Akan adakah lagi yang sepertimu? Kukira kita akan bersama, begitu banyak yang sama, latarmu dan latarku. Kukira takkan ada kendala, kukira ini kan mudah, kau aku jadi kita. Kau melanjutkan perjalananmu, lanjutkan perjalananku. Kukira kita akan bersama, begitu banyak yang sama, latarmu dan latarku. Kukira ini kan mudah, kau aku jadi kita. Kukira kita akan bersama. Hati-hati di jalan.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listener, if you are a barista and food and beverage enthusiast, we recommend you to participate in the Barista Innovation Challenge or BIC 2024. This coffee blending event will be held again, entering its 5th year. The Barista Innovation Challenge has expanded its range of participants to include not only Indonesian participants, but also participants from Malaysia and Thailand. Baristas and F&B enthusiasts can participate in the Barista Innovation Challenge by submitting video content that is as interesting as possible, involving a signature coffee recipe using Indonesia's original coffee bean ingredients. The video content submission period closes on June 30, 2024. The Beauty World Digital Economic and Creative Product of the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, Muhammad Nail El-Himam, said, "The Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy continuously support the Barista Innovation Challenge, which focuses mainly on mixology. Mixology is the art of mixing drinks, and participants must make innovation in each menu created." According to Neil, along the way, many of the Barista Innovation Challenge participants produce a product that has the potential to become IP, or intellectual property. There are 4 criteria for evaluating the Barista Innovation Challenge, namely creativity in making drink menus, barista talents who not only understand coffee making techniques, but also understand the raw materials and origin of the ingredients used, the sustainable innovation, and how to tell the story behind the raw material used. This year, the name of the Barista Innovation Challenge is A Heritage of Culture, Taste, and Innovation. This team represents the spirit of maintaining not only Indonesian culture but also starting an innovation by reaching out to cultures in Asian countries, especially Malaysia and Thailand, who will also participate in the 2020 Barista Innovation Challenge. That's Miscellany.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German,
Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you. Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we are going to play a song by Potret. Potret is a band from Jakarta, founded in 1995. The latest format of Potret is Meli Guslow in vocal, Nikita Dompas in guitar, Anto Hood in bass, and Mary Kasiman in keyboard, and Aksan Sujuman in drum. Potret made a lot of hits that are still enjoyed by many music lovers today. One of them is Bagaikan Langit, or Just Like the Sky, which was released in 1998, but going viral in 2020 as a song in TikTok. Bagaikan Langit is included in Potret's third album, Cafe, released in 1998. The song is about someone falling in love, which makes their life more colorful. Well, here is Potret with Bagaikan Langit, and you're listening to the songs.
Bagaikan langit di sore hari berwarna biru, sepiru hatiku menanti kabar yang aku tunggu, peluk dan cium hangat untukku.
Voice of Indonesia. Of Indonesia.
Di atas bumi ini ku berpijak, ada jiwa yang tenang di hariku, tak pernah ada duka yang semua hidup ini dengan cinta dan cita yang terindah, masa muda yang tak pernah kan endung, ku bahagia dalam. Cerita indahku sampai saat remaja yang terindah.
bumi ini.